Hello, podcast world. Welcome to The Ear. We're going to start our very first season on prayer. And through this season, we hope and pray that we can answer key questions about prayer.
You know, in a world where everything doesn't go right and we see a bunch of mass shootings over here, over there, and we see babies dying of cancer and our loved ones, you know, die so soon, we look at these things and we ask ourselves, where is God? We forget as Christians that we have a direct connection to God through prayer, and we often forget to pray. Or we often ask ourselves, why is it so hard to pray?
So stay tuned with us as we go through this season and talk about prayer.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Hey, podcast world. Welcome to the first season of The Ear. And this season will be entitled Prayer. Through this season, we're going to ask key questions about prayer. Today's first question and topic is, why is it so hard to pray? I was reading an article written by Dr. Burke Parsons from the Table Talk magazine produced by Ligonier Ministries. And Dr. Parsons opens up his article by saying, it's hard to pray because humbling ourselves, getting over ourselves, and coming to an end of our stubborn and sinful selves is hard. When we pray, we die to self and death hurts. That's why our flesh fights so hard against prayer. That could not have been a more true statement. You know, yes, death absolutely hurts. Sometimes death hits when we don't expect it and it hurts, you know. From a personal level, when we lose a loved one, a close loved one, we mourn them. We mourn their death and we go into a season of grieving. If we lose a very close friend, same concept. Or even if we had a famous person pass away that, you know, I guess America or the world look to, that hurts too, you know. So yeah, death does hurt, but here's the key. No one escapes this world alive. So, you know, we're all going to die, but anyway. So our question is for this discussion and is, why is it so hard to pray? But before we get into that question and before I bring on the co-host lined up for today's topic, I want to take a look at Twitter. Yes, I have a Twitter account. I came across a Donald Trump post. Now, keep in mind, we're not going to talk politics 100% on this podcast. We will touch on certain things politically, but we're not going to talk about one candidate, one person in Congress, or anything like that. We're going to focus on content. So Donald Trump made a Twitter post, I guess dealing with the wall or whatever, and Congress and whatever deal they made. But I came across this comment as I was flipping through from a guy by the name of Bishop Tolbert Swan. Now, I did my research on Bishop Swan, and he is a pastor of the Church of God in Christ, the Kojic denomination, if you will. You know, looking at his history, you know, he's an advocate for voting rights and political activity. He's had a great deal dealing with that in Massachusetts. That's where he's from. That's where he was born. He also advocated for same-sex marriage. And another fun fact, in 2018, his Twitter account was permanently suspended for hateful conduct. So apparently he got another Twitter account and he posted about 5 replies to Donald Trump's post. The first one is the one that really threw me off guard. He tells the president to shut exploited word up. Yeah. Not everybody likes Donald Trump. Not everybody agrees with Donald Trump. Not everybody wants that man to be president. Not everybody agrees with his moral conduct. But he is the president. He is a leader in this country, and he is the guy calling the shots along with Congress. And I say that to say this, as a pastor, if you're going to bear the name bishop, pastor, priest, reverend, whatever you go by, you best watch what you say, watch what you do, because your congregation and anybody else that you are reaching in the world are watching you. And if we as Christians, you know, if we let unwholesome things fall from our lips, according to Ephesians 4:29, so as Christians and pastors, preachers, priests, we should not engage in unwholesome talk. It doesn't look good. And already Christianity is under scrutiny in this country and around the world every single day. So when a person that is not a believer hears a person that is of the faith or in the Christian body speak with hatred, it makes Christianity look bad as a whole. You know, so I'm sorry, but I do not agree with this bishop making these statements toward the president of the United States. I mean, come on, you are a bishop. You don't use your calling or the pulpit to preach your political beliefs, and you don't use your calling in an unbiblical way that can hurt another person. The pulpit is used to preach grace and the gospel, not hatred. You know, and me as a Christian, I like to always revert back to prayer. I am a big advocate of prayer, and I think prayer needs to be pushed more and more. And I think this bishop, instead of belittling the president and telling him to shut exploit word up, this bishop should have actually called his congregation and himself to prayer. So my closing point is, I think it's also hard for us to pray because we have so much hatred in our hearts. And because we're not ready to give up that hatred and give everything to Jesus Christ and just put it at the foot of the cross, then our morals are not lined up with biblical teachings, and our morals are not lined up with the teachings of Christ. So we want to hold on to our sin-stained hearts. We want to keep that intact, and we want to be in control, and we want to tell everybody else not to tell us how to live and what we should do. You know, and I close with this. We as Christians should never, ever speak ill about anyone. We should always revert back to prayer. And I digress. So now we're going to go ahead and dive into our topic today. And I'm going to introduce my co-host, Robert Maruli, who is served our country for 8 years, and he's Lutheran, which is pretty cool. Please join in, sit back and enjoy. And I hope this discussion will open up your hearts and make it easier for you to approach God in prayer and repent of your sins, repent of our sins. All right, let's get in there. All right, so as promised, I have with me Robert Maruli, who is Lutheran. So today's discussion topic is, why is it so hard to pray? And Robert, I want you to kind of tell us your take on this question. And what do you think, and how, you know, why do you think it's hard to pray?
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Robert, the long-awaited co-host. Why I think it's so hard to pray, it's funny. Prayer is not an everyday use with most people. I hate to say it. Most Christians, I actually don't believe in the power of prayer. Even though prayer is one of those powerful things, actually, it's your relationship with God. You talk to him, you know. It's kind of like, how should I put it? Easiest way is like writing a letter to your mom or writing a letter to your grandma. It's that relationship you build. You always keep in contact with them. About the prayer, you don't keep in contact with God, and he's up there thinking, well, hey, well, what are you doing? You haven't talked to me at all. Hey, how's things going? You need help? You need help? Kind of like a father helps your child. Do you need help? No, they stop talking, you know? Like when you grow up. When you're a child, you talk to your dad all the time. Hey, Dad, I need help. Hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I need help. When you get older, move out. Do you ever talk to your parents that much anymore? Nope. I ain't gonna lie. I haven't talked to my mom in, I'd say, about a few months, and it's kind of sad. I need to talk to her more, you know, that relationship.
Yeah, but where does your mom live, though?
And she lives in Oklahoma.
And you live here in the great southern state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
I read this article by Bert Parsons. And again, this is material from the Table Talk magazine, which is provided by Ligonier Ministry. And in my opening statement, like I said, you know, because we have trouble with humbling ourselves and getting over ourselves, you know, we are very prompt and prideful people that we do forget to pray. We sit there and we think we got everything under control. We don't even bother to acknowledge the fact that, hey, there is a created God. You know, reading on in the article, I like the part where Dr. Parsons talks about, you know, when we recognize God's sovereignty in prayer, we are also reminded of his love, grace, and holiness and righteousness. What do you think about that little phrase?
I agree 100% on it. Again, we all know God is a loving God, a powerful God, a gracious God. We also know he's also, you know, a very he's slow to anger, and he's a vengeful God too. But his gracious for us, it's out of this world. Your mind can't comprehend it. That's the best way I was told by a good friend of mine. The biggest thing that I can say is when it comes to prayer, again, we don't use it in everyday life. The best way I can describe it is when you were a kid to the time you grew up and moved out, your parents taught you how to do this, how to close your doors, how to lock your car, how to change, how to get dressed. In school, they taught you the alphabet, how to count, how to, you know, basic math. But the only person that teach you how to pray was, I'd say, you know, some parents in the church. Well, again, it's not enthrived in you, because when you go to college, again, it's math, science, English, it's all that again in your day-to-day life routine. Prayer is not in there because, again, look at, you know, the Constitution. They separate church and state. So it's not there. So people don't know how to pray. And again, it's one of those powerful things. Today, I actually went to do a physical examination test for the Louisiana State Police to go become a trooper, hopefully. And prior to going to take that test, I actually said a prayer to God asking for him to give me strength and endurance to pass the running physical part. Again, his gracious and holiness and power, he granted me my prayer. He heard my prayer because I passed it today. Pretty happy about that. It's funny, a few people prayed for me again. God does answer prayers. But the main thing that most people don't think too is the only time people come to prayer with God is when they need something. I don't like to say that, but it's true. When you need something, or if you're in trouble, you pray to God. You try to, you know, not get in trouble or something.
Yeah. So reading on an article, it's funny you say that, because again, Parsons, he brings this up. He says, you know, we also pray for God to help us, but we treat prayer like it's a grocery list. Mm-hmm. And you said it earlier, it needs to be more like a love letter to a person we love. And in my personal opinion, because I'm big on prayer, I don't think prayer should be put on a back burner. I think prayer needs to be the forefront. When we wake up in the morning, we should pray. Midday, we should pray. When we go to bed, we should pray. I see myself every time I I'm a cop by trade. So when I go on a complaint, before I go to that complaint, I say a prayer. Now, yeah, it could be a small prayer like, Lord, protect us, protect all going to this complaint. Let us be safe. Mm-hmm. Or I could get there and everything goes well. I get in my car and I thank God for protecting me, because I could wake up dead. You know, I could never come home after going to a certain complaint. So yeah, prayer is very important. And I really, really wish people would recognize that, including Christians that profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. You know, and that's my take on that.
Well, most people that do pray, that they call themselves Christians, again, the only time they come to prayer is when they need something done. I don't know. They get pulled over by you as a cop. They start praying to God, please don't give me a ticket. Please don't give me a ticket. God, please don't let me get a ticket, you know? And the funny thing is, if you read Colossians chapter 3, it actually advises you that you should not set your minds or thoughts on anything that isn't, you know, earthly. I shall quote it from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Again, I think chapter 3, verse 2 says it the best, is to set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. And that's what a lot of people do when it comes to prayer. They set their things about on earth. God tells us multiple times throughout the Bible, you should not, you know, love anything that's earthly, nothing. We should only love him, because this is all going to go away one day.
But I hear what you're saying, and I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. But you know that car that I got, that's a nice car. I prayed for that car. You know, God granted me that car, therefore I'm going to enjoy that car. And people, go ahead.
I see what you're getting at. That's okay. There's different kinds. You have the lust, that they're lusting for it, that they want it, they desire it. It's not what the heart wants. It's what they want. God only knows what your heart truly wants. God knew you need that car to get to your work, to job, you know, to provide, to go to church and praise and worship him. He knew that you weren't just lusting after that car because it's a great looking car. It's a Lexus or something, you know. He knew in your heart you needed it so you can go praise him. He didn't see the lust side. He saw the love for it and the love you have for God. That's the difference between how people think, oh, but I pray for something, I get it. No.
Well, see that, and that's where prosperity gospel comes in. And when, I don't know if you've ever listened to prosperity gospel preaching, but they will actually tell you, you know, if you sow this seed to, you know, this ministry, I'm not going to say my ministry because that would be blasphemous, but they're going to tell you to sow this seed to this ministry and then God's going to do X, Y, Z. The last time I checked, God is not a DJ and he doesn't just dish out requests in order for people to just get. Yes, God is gracious. He is a giving God. But at the same time,
it's in his time.
It's in his timing. And I'm not a fan of the prosperity gospel. And I'm not going to sit here and harp on their preachings right now. But when it comes to prayer, and like I would love, like to believe, it's hard for a person to pray because of our selfishness. We get stuck on this me train or this I train, hint Apple iPhone or Apple iPad. You know, everything's about me. Everything's about Brandon. You know, I'm not looking to, in other words, do anything for anyone else because it's all about me right now. You know, so yeah, I'm not looking to pray in a sense of praying for other people, but I'm going to pray for myself, obviously, because I love me. You know, when we're supposed to love and pray for the world, you know, not love the world in a sense of being of the world, but to love the creation that God gave us. And I may be wrong on that statement, but...
No. It makes sense because one of my other Bible verses I know by heart, Proverbs 16:3, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will always be established. Basically, as long as you do God's work, your thoughts of you need will be established because, again, it's what your heart desires. It's not what you lust for. Again, that's the biggest thing most people get, you know, wrong when it comes to prayer. They think, oh, if I pray for, like, for instance, the lotto, the biggest thing in the United States. Most people want to win that, you know, the Mega Millions, where it's like $300 billion or whatever it was a few months back. You shouldn't pray to win the lotto. It's again, that's the lust for money. And it states in the Bible, you know, you should, all money is the root of evil.
No, actually, it's the love of money.
The love of money. My apologies. That is correct. The love of money is the root of evil. And if you pray to win the lotto, you're loving the money. God's not going to grant it. Again, God has three answers for you. Yes, no, and wait. It will be in due time.
That is, I agree. I agree with those three things. Yes, no, and wait. And I love this. I love hearing people say, well, I prayed for this and God didn't answer my prayer. Well, it's probably for a reason he didn't answer your prayer. Or I'll hear somebody say, you know, I prayed for XYZ and I don't hear God talking to me. And actually, I'm gonna throw one of my roommates under the bus, Timothy. We were talking about something. I can't remember what it was exactly. I think it was about school. And he said he prayed about it, but he didn't hear God talking to him. But then a couple sentences later, he said, well, I'm gonna make up a name. Miss Geraldine told him that he needs to consider doing XYZ to possibly help him. And I stood up and I looked at him and I said, that sounds like an answered prayer to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't forget that God puts people in our lives, not just to put them in our lives.
You're right.
They're there for a reason. So if we quote unquote don't hear God talking, but yet we hear an answer from a person that seems pretty close to God answering your prayer, yet we still ignore it, it's hard for us to pray because, again, we're in ourselves and we can't get past that.
I agree with that. A little quick bio on me. Before to know your host, Brandon, here, I was also a cop by trade. I lived on my own. I had a little bit of a heartache trouble time frame of my past, and basically I was asked to leave the job, and I was jobless for a good amount of time. I prayed every day. I cried and begged God, saying, you know, hey, I would like a job. Please help me get a job, Father. I need a job. I need to support my kids. I need to support myself. I need it. Please help me. Please help me. I don't care whatever it takes. Just give me something. Well, again, like you say, God puts people in our lives for a reason. I've known Brandon for 4 years?
Yeah.
Four years. He'll maybe one day on one of his other talks, you might admit, he wasn't a fan of me at the beginning, but we best friends now.
My homie.
he prayed for me during those rough times for me, and I prayed too, and again, it's in God's time when it comes to prayer. Well, I kept thinking, I even called him. I remember calling Brandon one time. I was like, I don't get it, Brandon. I've been trying. I've called places I've applied for. Nothing's happening. I even talked to God. Why is he not answering my prayer? And he told me the best thing I've ever heard in my life. He said, it's in his time, not yours. You must wait. Something good is going to happen. And what's funny is I do have a good job now. And it's funny is Brandon's back in my life again. And things have been going a whole different level, correct?
We fight every now and again. But yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
But it's just funny how, again, it's in his time. And again, people are put in your life for a reason. There's a reason why Brandon's in my life. again, more than ever. He was in my life before, but now it's like a lot. And yeah. So it's just funny how, again, he did answer the prayer. It just wasn't his time. It wasn't as soon. Because, again, if God answered prayers as soon as you ask the prayer, things would happen instantly. It would not be, you know.
Right. Again, like I said earlier, it'll be as if God's a DJ just granting out every prayer
he'd be,
we get.
He'd be like Aladdin, like the genie of Aladdin.
Pretty much.
Granted 3 wishes, you know?
Yeah. You know, and even let me play devil's advocate again. Please don't kill me for this one. But let's say God was a genie. I can promise you the people in this world would not take those 3 wishes seriously. Mm-mm. I never would refer to God as a genie because of his holiness. You know, he knew us from the foundation of the earth and he will know us up until judgment. You know, so everything we pray for, he already knows what we're going to pray for. He knows how we're going to pray for it. Question is, how affectionate is our prayer? Are we just saying, Lord, I'm waking up this morning. I ask that you would give me a good day. Or are we taking the time and are we falling prostrate on our faces before God, lamenting our sins and actually praying as deeply as we can? And in other words, writing that love letter to God so that we can pray. Now, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit and Robert, give me some examples on when it was hard for you to pray and why.
Let's see. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna admit it. When Brandon might be able to say that agree. No, I don't think you would. But anyways, back a while, not long ago actually, I had a horrible life. I'm not gonna lie. I was in deep sin. I sinned a lot. I did some horrible things I shouldn't have. I have repented of it. I've asked God for the forgiveness of it. I'm trying to live a better life. And again, thank you, Brandon, here for helping me on that path. But when I'm around other people, and let's say we go to a place that is not Christian-like. For instance, people that live in Louisiana, especially in Baton Rouge or Houma, there was a place called Twin Peaks. And there's also Hooters all across the United States. Everybody knows what a Hooters is. The ladies there were in very inappropriate clothing. That's a place you shouldn't go as a Christian. Also a place you shouldn't sit there and observe in awe. Again, it's lust. And again, lust is one of the commandments. And also Jesus even said that if you look at a woman and lust in your heart with your eyes, you already committed adultery in your heart. But when you're sitting there with all your friends, you don't want to sit there and start praying about it, saying, you know, God, give me the strength to overcome the devil, this lust that's all around me, because you're going to feel a little weird about it. I've had those moments where I've been around people and I don't want to pray because I feel like, oh, you're that Jesus freak guy. You know what I mean? It's those moments. And I hate when people call people that because it's not nice. I'm sorry, you don't have a relation with God, but I do.
I'm sorry. I think I'd rather be called a Jesus freak than to be called a black man eating a piece of chicken.
But I just hate that. I can't say hate because hate's another strong word, because if you hate someone in your heart, you've already committed murder. I disapprove of how people will say that, again, because they don't have a relationship with God. Hey, I'll talk to you. You know, the gospel is about Jesus, but if you don't want to get your relationship with God, hey, I tried. Yeah. I reached out, you know.
You're right. And one of the things, one of the parts where I struggle with praying and when it was hard for me to pray, now I've always been, to my knowledge, I've always been a follower of Jesus Christ, and I've always tried to develop my faith in such a way that I could be a blessing to other people and also grow closer to God. But there were 2 moments in my life, actually 3, but I'm only going to talk about 2. 2 moments in my life where it was extremely hard for me to pray. And one of them was when my scoutmaster, her name was Rhonda Bredere, very, very close to me, very close friend. She was my scoutmaster. She was like another mother to me in my younger days. And when I became an adult, she kind of transitioned to, I'm still your mama, but I'm also going to be your friend. But don't cross me, you know, type. And she was diagnosed with cancer. And that was probably the most devastating news that I could bear at the time. And I think it was New Year's Eve. I was at a friend's birthday party. I get a phone call telling me that I should return home. You know, she may not make it through the night. So I returned home, and I kid you not, it was like driving through a movie with the fireworks going off, and I'm driving, you know, to this sad, you know, moment in life where someone may pass away that night and not see the new year. And I get there, and we're around her bed, and she utters the words, "Why don't y'all just let me die?" Before that, it was hard for me to pray. Me being selfish, how could God allow such a good woman suffer like this? And keep good on the back of your mind here for a second. But when I heard that, I haven't prayed for Miss Rhonda specifically for weeks, because it was hard to do so, because again, I was caught up in my sin and I was caught up in questioning God on why. Mm-hmm. You know, how could he even do such a thing? Well, when I heard those words, I ran out the back door of that house. Now, granted, I cannot swim, so God is still gracious. Even when I was a knucklehead, I ran to the backside of the pool where she built the pond a couple years before, and there was some seating area. So I sat and I just started crying and I started praying. And I said, okay, most of that was, you know, forgive me, Lord. I'm stupid. I shouldn't have done that. A lot of that was, you know, thanking God for giving me the time with Miss Rhonda. And then another portion of that was cursing God. And I'm not proud to say that I actually cursed God that night, but I did. And, you know, I kind of wish I would have never done it. But because of that, I grew in my faith and I grew in prayer. I remember right after I finished, like, in other words, going off on God or calling his hands out, if you will, I repented again. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me. You know, whew, I'm stupid. You know, I'm looking up, looking for that lightning bolt to strike me for what I did. But yeah, one of the things that I ended up asking for was that God would grant me one more day with Miss Rhonda. And I kid you not, he did just exactly what I prayed for. Now, I was too selfish to notice it then. And you won't believe when I actually noticed it. I actually noticed it. We had her memorial service a month later. And I noticed it driving to the fire station to do the memorial service. That's when I noticed that God fulfilled my prayer. And I'm like, goodness gracious.
Like a ton of bricks hit you.
Right. It was like a ton of bricks that hit me. I had a headache instantly. But at the same time, I want to go back to the part where I said, you know, how could God allow such a good woman to suffer? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say Miss Rhonda was not a good person. She was an absolutely great person. Mm-hmm. She loved the Lord, you know, but we all sin. Keep in mind, folks, no one is good. No one is righteous. No, not even one. Only Jesus was that one that was righteous. We need to realize our sins and our sin-stained heart will keep us from praying, and it will make it hard for us to pray. You know, so as we close this segment, I want you guys to think about this question. Why is it so hard for us to pray? Think about that. And back at home, if you're listening, you know, via this podcast, I want y'all to think about starting a prayer group. And, you know, over the next 24 episodes that we're going to do on prayer, I want you guys to tune in. And my goal is that you would grow your prayer life with God. This needs to not be a DJ request. Keep in mind, Job, the servant of God, Job, he suffered a lot. He lost his kids, his health, his wealth. He lost everything. But he was a man of prayer and he never gave up in his prayer. We can look at David. David's another one. You know, he knew his sin when it was pointed out to him and he prayed forgiveness. And that was like a love letter in and of itself. You know, so just keep that in mind, guys. You know, yes, there are times it could be hard to pray, but we have to fight through that. And we have to be reminded that when we pray, we recognize God's sovereignty, his love, his grace, his holiness, and his righteousness. And we are confronted by a harsh reality. We need that. You know, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are a pastor for 30 years. We need to be reminded that we need to be reminded of these things. And I digress from that. So, Robert, do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, one last thing before I guess we go for the evening. The top of the end, or not top it off, I'll let you finish that off. Again, I always remember, if you also read the letters Paul wrote too, he talks about the love of God and also has steadfast prayer with him too. But the final verse I like to quote is, again, from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. Just remember this, ladies and gentlemen, that's listening. Always, again, 4:2. Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open us to a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Again, when it comes to prayer, it's the same way you should also speak as a Christian. Because when you talk to God, are you going to curse to God? No. So that's what I said. I pray a lot. I pray for people that need help. I pray for friends, family, relatives, myself.
Yeah. Prayer is a powerful thing. And we have to remember, prayer is our direct connection to God.
It is.
You know,
it's very powerful.
It's very powerful. And if we don't utilize that tool, or we don't utilize that connection, we will become stale. We will become stagnant in our walk, and we're not going to grow. You know, we may learn bits and pieces here and there, but we have to constantly be in prayer. Like I said earlier, when we wake up in the morning, midday and when we go to bed at night. We have to. There's no other way to put it.
Just like your little book stated that most Christians, that little article.
Yeah, the Table Talk magazine. Yeah,
that article stated that most Christians do not believe in the power of prayer, which I hate to inform you, but it is extremely powerful. And wow, that's all I got to say. It gives you the, and here in Louisiana we call it the frissons. All right, it gives you the frissons.
She got the frissons. Yeah. Well,
but in other places, it gives you the jitters. It makes you feel good.
Well, I want to go ahead and conclude this segment of season one of our prayer episodes. And I want you guys to stay tuned. We will see you at the next episode. Although I do have all the episodes planned out, I don't know which question is going to be next because I'm probably not going to do them in order. So yeah, I'm unorthodox when it comes to that. So join us for the next episode. And we hope this podcast would bless you. We hope that we can help draw you closer to God through prayer. And remember that God is sovereign. God is holy. God is just. God is good. All the time, God is good. So thank you guys.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Wait.
You messed it up, bro. It's God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
There you go.
All right. Thank you guys. Y'all have a great weekend and God bless y'all. Look forward to talking with y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.